Hello, everyone. Welcome to Rob Talk. It's Rob Cunningham the Fourth here. I'm going to be continuing the candidate series in this episode. So, no housekeeping to take care of in this section. Just know that you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Talk Podcast. And please subscribe and rate and whatever podcast player you choose or on YouTube. Let's get into the show. Elizabeth Warren is an American Democratic politician and former academic, serving as the senior United States Senator from Massachusetts since 2013. She is formerly a law school professor specializing in bankruptcy law. She is a progressive who has focused on consumer protection, economic opportunity, and the social safety net whilst in the Senate. Elizabeth Warren is one of my favorites. I'd have to say probably my second favorite behind Bernie and right in front of Andrew Yang and Tulsi Gabbard. But in this candidate series, we're not going to be talking about Andrew Yang and Tulsi Gabbard because they have no shot. Like I said in the last episode, I'm only going to be focusing on the five candidates that are polling at 5% or higher. That is because it's a waste of time to focus on the others. I wish the Beto O'Rourkes of the world would drop out and run for Senate, something more achievable. Elizabeth Warren has a great chance. She is in second place right now, only behind Joe Biden and one spot ahead of Bernie Sanders. She's polling at about 17.3% in the Democratic nomination polls that have been run by multiple companies like Fox News, YouGov, The Hill, HarrisX, Politico, Morning Consult, Quinnipiac, and SurveyUSA. RealClearPolitics.com gives us a great averaging and breakdown of these polls. So she's very popular and she's doing well in the South, which is something that's going to be desperately needed to beat Donald Trump for the presidency in 2020. Now, a poll betting website called predictit.org actually has Elizabeth Warren as the number one candidate to win the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination. They have her at 31 cents. And this should be taken with a grain of salt because it can be open to market manipulation, but essentially, a poll betting website allows people to put their money on what they think is going to happen in a certain outcome, like a race, like the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination race. And when they predict things properly, they stand to win money. So it's a little bit of skin in the game for these polls. This might not be a who do I support the most. This might just be a predictor of who they think is going to win and stands to win them the most money. I'll read that breakdown now from the top. Elizabeth Warren, 31 cents. Joe Biden, 26 cents. Kamala Harris, 15 cents. Bernie Sanders, 14 cents. Andrew Yang, 10 cents. Pete Buttigieg, 8 cents. Cory Booker, 4 cents. Beto O'Rourke, 3 cents. So, yeah, Andrew Yang being at 10 cents, that's obviously way too high. He's polling at around 1.5 points right now in the polls. So that's probably not going to happen. But anyway, that can be a good predictor of this too. So anyway, Elizabeth Warren is doing well right now. So what does she stand for? A huge one is that she stands with Bernie on free public college and cancellation of student loan debt. Now, she differs a little bit from Bernie in that for the cancellation of student loan debt, it's only up to $50,000 and about 95% of students would be eligible for it. That is to say, don't make too much to be eligible for this debt relief. Another thing is that she wants to ban private prisons and stop the exploitation for profit that these institutions are allowed to commit. She wants to create universal child care. Get this, across all 50 states, the average annual infant care cost is $6,001. The median family income in the United States is $50,335. That's insane. More than 10% of someone's median income would have to go to infant care. And those with higher incomes don't have to worry about these costs. So that's just absurd. So I'm glad that she's focusing on that because that's not something that's discussed nearly enough in this country. She wants to get money out of politics as much as possible. She wants to stop corruption in Washington by preventing lobbyists from going in and owning these politicians. I think publicly funded elections is a good idea. So good on her for popularizing these ideas. Now, a lot of people that are more moderate Democrats or obviously the right are going to be like, we can't have wish list economics. How are we going to get all this done without the money? Well, she has a tax called the ultra-millionaire tax that only tax people who make over $50 million. So it'd be an added tax, 2% between an annual income of $50 million and $1 billion. And then if you make $1 billion or more, there's going to be an additional 1% surtax. So that's a 3% added tax for people who are making a billion or up. So if you make $49.99 million per year, you have to worry not, because your income taxes will not change at the federal level whatsoever. Now, I mentioned in the last episode, Bernie's plan is to put a less than 1% tax on each Wall Street transaction, basically taxing Wall Street speculation, less than 1%. And then this, Elizabeth Warren's plan to do the 2% over $50 million and 3% over $1 billion would generate $2.75 trillion over 10 years. And that's great. That could accomplish all of her goals that she has that I just laid out. And one more thing, she has voted with Trump the least amount of times of any United States senator, less than Bernie and less than Kirsten Gillibrand, who are just above her. She has voted for Trump policies less than 12% of the time. Some pros of Elizabeth Warren are that she's high energy and she does really well in the South, and she has a really great detailed policy-oriented campaign that she's running right now. So those are all things that are going to help her. She's also younger than some of the other candidates like Trump, Biden, and Sanders. But the big and seemingly only major con that I can think of off the top of my head right now would be her Native American debacle. She claimed when she was a law professor that she had Native American heritage, and she actually released a DNA test several months back, maybe at the end of last year, that she had a Native American ancestor. That didn't make things better for her in this situation. This is sure to be used against her during the presidential campaign and debates that follow if she does ultimately become the nominee for the Democratic Party. On August 19th, she did actually apologize to a group of Native American leaders at a Native American presidential forum in Iowa. She's also laid out an extensive plan to provide infrastructure and education, housing funds, and all of that for the Native American people of the United States. But that will surely be used against her. We just have to see if she can hold up. All in all, I would be more than happy to vote for her. Maybe even throw a little Sanders on the ticket as vice president to spice things up. Let me know on Twitter or Instagram at Rob Talk Podcast if I got anything wrong about Elizabeth Warren. In other quickie stories you need to hear about today, on August 19th, Planned Parenthood withdrew from Title X program over Trump abortion rule. This means Planned Parenthood will receive less federal funding over a choice not to comply with the Trump administration rules regarding abortion counseling. The new rules, issued by the United States Department of Health and Human Services earlier this year, prohibit Title X grantees from providing or referring patients for abortion, except in cases of rape, incest, or medical emergency. Officials say that means patients are likely to see longer wait times or increased costs for reproductive health services since they are getting less federal funding. Conservative commentator Ben Shapiro recently came under fire for making comments saying that people who have to work two jobs to make ends meet should not have taken the job if it wasn't paying them enough. This clip went viral on Twitter. He tried to clarify his statement later, adding that he has worked multiple jobs throughout his career and understands why someone would need to. While some people agreed with Ben Shapiro, many were upset with comments like this from Matt Ortega. Quote, "If you need two jobs to make ends meet, you don't have the luxury of picking and choosing jobs. You have to take work where you can to pay the bills and feed yourself and your family." Ben Shapiro clearly does not get that, end quote. China is ramping up its propaganda campaign against the Hong Kong protest. They are doing things such as buying anti-protest ads on Twitter and Facebook, both of which are banned in China, as part of an effort to disperse misinformation to the international community. Beyond that, mainland China has also moved thousands of troops to their border with Hong Kong to conduct public military exercises that many believe are meant to intimidate protesters in Hong Kong. On Sunday, hundreds of thousands of pro-democracy demonstrators took to the streets of Hong Kong in one of the biggest peaceful marches seen in the city since the protests first began 11 weeks ago. Finally, the Department of Justice filed a brief on Friday, August 16th, asking the Supreme Court to rule that Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 does not protect workplace discrimination on the basis of transgender identity. The Department of Justice did this in response to a brief filed by a case involving Harris Funeral Homes, where Amy Stevens, a former funeral director, says she was fired after coming out to her boss and saying she would wear a female uniform. Harris Funeral Homes and the Department of Justice argue Title VII protects against discrimination based on biological sex only, while the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission says LGBTQ plus workers should be protected under sex-based discrimination. That's all for Rob Talk. Please subscribe, rate, review wherever you listen. I'll see you next time.